My heart fills with joy on Static this evening to be able to welcome on the phone the Baltimore Bard himself, Dan Deacon. How do you do?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good and so happy to have a Dan Deacon album in 2020. It's been a good 5 years since Glycerifer, Dan.
Oh, yes. It's been a while. I am very bad at time management. I'm very, very bad at it. I took on a lot of other projects. I got into film scoring, and I worked at the New York City Ballet, and started producing for other people. And then, like, I was like, "Oh my God, I need to put a record out." So, kind of what happened like that.
You need more interns, Dan. That's what you need.
I wouldn't know how to manage their time.
Well, as you said, a lot of the reason is you kept busy in the interim doing a number of film scores, including some documentaries like 2017's Rat Film and 2018's Time Trial, and then recently the Well Groomed documentary for HBO. So was that something you had kind of been jonesing to get into for a while and then thought you needed to devote more time to?
It is something I've wanted to do my entire career, and it just kind of started. I think with Rat Film, a lot of people became interested in me working in that capacity, and they kind of just one after another. It was a total of 8 films between features and shorts, and I've got 5 more in the can.
Wow.
That I'm working on. So it's rapidly becoming a major part of my artistic identity.
I also like the fact you're becoming almost like Dr. Doolittle. You've scored documentaries with dogs and rats, so I'm hoping you can have the whole animal kingdom by the end of your career.
I scored a film for ESPN, 30 for 30, about the rules of tennis. And there's a brief little section about horse racing, so I kind of count that as well.
Yeah, I think otters should be next, maybe, Dan.
Please, yeah. If someone wants to make that, I'm down to score it.
And doing that kind of work, is it more limiting having to edit and conform your songs into certain forms for visuals? Or did you actually find it added a whole new dimension to your music?
It's definitely something that changes the process, and I think that's what I enjoy about it, is that it is a completely different process. Like, I need to write music within the universe of the film, and I'm collaborating with the director and in some instances with the editor. So there's that whole level of collaboration, and that it has to fit the tonal palette of the movie itself. So those limitations are fun. I think that's what I like most about it. Because when I am writing solo by myself, I love the endless options, but sometimes those endless options can give you option paralysis, and when you're the only one in the room, a lot of doubt can enter the equation. So I think that's another reason why this record took so long, is because I kept bouncing back and forth, going from like collaborations where someone else could be like, I like this, or this doesn't work, to now I'm the only one in the room and needed to decide, like, is this good enough? Did I make a wrong turn, yada, yada, yada. So that's why the process of, like, I give her the oblique strategies cards that Brian Eno put out.
They've been a big help?
Oh, they were massive. They were massive. And if anyone's listening and not familiar, there are these, like, it's a deck of cards that has
instructions.
Each one has a different, like, prompt or question instructions, yeah, specific to a studio environment on what you should do if you're feeling the need for some sort of input. And those really, really helped. Drawing one of those and then meditating on it, and then also making sure to meditate and slow down and take a deep breath. When I started like fully embracing that process, that's when the productivity started ramping up and I became extremely excited about the record.
But Dan, don't some of those Eno cards say things like play more blue?
A little bit. They're pretty esoteric. They're about as Brian Eno as you can possibly get. And what I liked about them is I didn't always necessarily agree with them. But if I didn't agree with them, I had to fully understand why I didn't. I didn't want to just reject one because I didn't like what it said. I wanted to reject it because I thought it was bad input. The same way that any collaborator can make a suggestion, and it's either a good suggestion or a bad suggestion, but you have to justify why before you move forward. And I think having that dialogue was helpful. Being a solo artist working in isolation, having a dialogue or a chance for dialogue, and that played into the whole theme of the record with the Mystic Familiar and having like an external voice and that voice interplaying with the narrator. So it became like a theme of both the process and the content itself.
I also am happy with the fact that it didn't then lead you down a dark path of becoming a card shark. You didn't get addicted to turning cards over, so that's something you've also dodged.
I am addicted to this board game called Cave Evil, but luckily it takes about 6 to 8 hours to play. There's not many people who play it, so but I do love that game.
And Dan, this process does seem to have made you want to be more open and honest on your own proper records, because Mystic Familiar, the new album, opens with the song Become a Mountain, which is the first time ever you haven't treated your vocals on a song. Is that right?
I think so. I can't think of a track that has any bare vocals prior to this. I don't think there is one, and if there is, I don't recall it. So I don't know if that counts. I was feeling really vulnerable and raw while making it, and I wanted to use that as a way to write, because for a while it was giving me writer's block and I couldn't work through it, and I think I was trying to like force something out. So when I embraced it and started using it as both a writing mechanic and also an influencer on the production itself, it started to ease up and become a bit easier to both work through as a person and to work through as an artist.
And that song's a bit of a carpe diem message to yourself as well. The lyrics, I'm still hungry for the future on this day before me, will I seize it or scroll, is kind of a note to not waste time on the internet, right?
It was a little reminder for me to do that. I think I use my phone as a way to both kill time and then avoid things that I really want to be facing. I find I pick up my phone in moments of stress to kind of distract myself, or, I don't know, I'll pick it up to do something that I think I need to do, and then I'll be like, why am I looking at recipe videos from the Philippines for the last 2 hours? What the hell have I been doing? Or why am I reading about these things I don't have any interest in when I have all this work that I want to be doing? It was just all this displaced energy. I think the phone is an amazing magnet for taking energy out of me, and I think other people. So in that song, In Become a Mountain, like anything that's voiced as I is supposed to be me, where I am questioning, like, am I going to have the ability to be productive today, or is being productive really the way I want to, like, measure my value or worth? And then there's the other voice, which I wrote as the familiar, which is trying to give those motivational meditation mantras.
Yeah, well, this familiar voice feeds into the name of the record, Mystic Familiar. And that idea seems central to all the songs on this record. Essentially, it's accepting the supernatural voice you hear in your own head and listening to your own positive thoughts?
Kind of, yeah. I think for a lot of people who have a hard time with self-compassion, or to not be so self-judgmental, or find themselves to have self-critical tendencies, it can be difficult to build up the mindset in a practice of self-compassion and being present and mindful of your own needs and how you're actually feeling. So for me, it was easier when writing about them to externalize them as another voice and to think of them as a character. The familiar is an entity that can communicate with another being supernaturally. And for me, I really like thinking of trees that way. Like, if a tree could speak, like, what would it bestow? And normally people think, I think maybe I'm wrong in thinking this, but nature has this like implied stoicism. But I really like to think of like trees as being just like people. Like, if there's going to be stoic and wise trees, there's also going to be like sarcastic jerk trees and cruel mountains and prankster valleys. I don't know, whatever you want to think about it. I think if we're going to personify nature, it has to include all of the traits that a human being can have within it.
All those characteristics, Dan, sound like you're pitching your musical with the cranky trees and whatnot. I look forward to that one day.
Yes, please. If anyone's investing, I have an excellent cast of really sarcastic birch trees I would love to bring to the theaters of Australia.
I also like the fact that you know how to play to your strengths, Dan, and this album has the blissful call and response of a song like Fell Into the Ocean, which I can already picture you doing live already, you know, getting the audience to do the gang vocal lines of Dig Deep and Burn Bright, Stay Sharp and Feel Free. So I feel like you've got that one sort of ready-made to take on the road.
Well, thanks. I've been wondering how to do it. I am really excited to play these tracks, and I haven't been on tour in a long time. I've been doing like one-off side gigs and, like I said, all these other projects, but I haven't done a proper tour in a number of years.
It's been too much time in opera houses for you, Dan. You need to get back on the floor with one table.
I'll put the table anywhere anyone asks me to put it.
I really hope you can bring yourself and your table down to Australia again at some point as well.
I am always dying to get back to Australia. It's one of my favorite places in the world, not just to be as a person, but as a musician. I feel like the scene there is a really special place.
Fantastic. Well, for now, We might have a listen to one of the instrumentals off of Mystic Familiar. And speaking of birch trees, Dan will play Weeping Birch right now.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you having me on the show and taking the time to play my music.
Anytime, Dan. This is Dan Deacon now with Weeping Birch on Static. Thanks.
Hey, that was great. Thank you.